It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Donald Trump wins the Iowa caucus, and Anthony Fauci wins the right, at least for now, to remain free, despite his admission that he's been lying through his teeth. Well, the election is officially underway, even though they've been campaigning all last year. We had the Iowa caucus. Ramaswamy has already suspended his campaign, throwing his support to Donald Trump. And you got to admire this guy. He said he would not allow his name to be on any ballot in any state that didn't put Trump there. Now, it could be argued that he could afford to say that since he knew he wasn't going to win any of these primaries anyway. But I do like this guy all in all. Don't agree with everything he says, but all in all, I like him and I'm glad he gave his support to Donald Trump. The two that came behind Donald Trump were Ron DeSantis at 21%, Nikki Haley at 19%. Even their scores combined did not equal Trump, who brought in a whopping 51% of the vote. Now, some people think that Democrats must be looking at this and they must be terrified, but they're not. They know what's going on. They know that Biden has been an abysmal excuse for a president. They know that when people compare Trump to Biden, there's nothing to even think about. Heck, if they compared Bart Simpson to Biden, there would be nothing to even think about. But they're not worried because they stole the election last time. They plan to steal it this time. Let me tell you something. I know they deny it, and I know they want to accuse you of being an election denier like it's some derogatory phrase, even though the Democrats denied that Trump had won the election against Hillary the entire 4 years he was in office. That was okay. But what Democrats deny today, they admit tomorrow. The day will come when they will admit that they cheated against Donald Trump. They'll revel in it. They'll brag about it. They're pretty open with trying to keep his name off the ballots right now. We already had a Secretary of State in Maine declare that he could not go on the ballot. And we had a court in Colorado declare that he could not go on the ballot. This in the name of democracy. To preserve democracy for the sake of democracy, we're not going to allow half the people in our state to vote for the candidate of their choice. And they claim that's because Trump is guilty of insurrection, even though he has not been found guilty of insurrection in any court. He has not even been charged with insurrection in any court. And even if that was the case, it would be Congress's responsibility to remove him from the ballots, not some judges, not some Secretary of State who's full of herself. I've gone through this with you before, but we probably couldn't do it too many times. When the day comes, and it will, that they admit to having cheated, they will justify it by saying Trump was another Hitler. If you could have kept Hitler off the ballot by cheating, wouldn't you have done so? Yeah, I would have done that. I would have done what I could to keep Hitler off the ballot. But the party which believes in infanticide, the party with such a radical left wing that it emboldens protesters who call for the genocide of Jews, the party which talks about redistribution of wealth, that wants to curtail your First Amendment and Second Amendment, the party that is acting like the Nazis will always accuse the opponent of being a Nazi. What Democrats accuse you of, they are doing themselves. But there's other news this week. As you recall, in 2020, we shut down an entire republic over a virus with a 99% recovery rate. And there were a lot of reasons, but one of them was that we listened to Dr. Anthony Fauci, who became quite popular and quite public. And even Trump, who I liked as a president, but was naive, did believe that if he could find the best people and the most qualified people and the most skilled people, that he ought to listen to them. That was his skill set as a business businessman. It's understandable. So he put Fauci up there, but later came to regret it, later came to renounce him. Anyway, this former COVID czar, Dr. Anthony Fauci, gave a closed-door testimony before Congress last week. Pandemic Chair Representative Brad Wenstrup, a Republican from Ohio, talked about how much Fauci doesn't seem to recall about the start of the pandemic. Well, as you know, not recalling something is code for not wanting to perjure yourself. These hearings are not over yet, but so far they've been going on, as I said, closed door. And here are the words of the New York Post. On social distancing, it seems he's admitted the whole thing was completely fake from the start. The idea was everyone staying 6 feet away from each other would slow the virus spread. From that flowed the need, quote unquote, to close businesses, shut schools, and generally immiserate average Americans. Yet, Fauci, in Winstrup's words, said the 6-foot guidelines sort of just appeared without meaningful scientific input and likely not based on scientific data. Of course, the 6-foot rule was only part of it. We had the masks, which at first Fauci admitted made no difference whatsoever. Then he came back and said we should wear them. Then he came back and said we should wear 2 of them. According to the Post, the closed door testimony is only the start. He's slated to speak at a public hearing as well. The man should go to jail. Now, I mentioned at the top of the program that he won't. What I mean is I'd be very surprised if he does. And obviously, nobody's talking about jail at the moment. Well, some of them are. Senator Rand Paul is calling for that. He should go to jail. Now, look, even when I thought the guy was sincere, you remember me on the radio often and publicly saying, why are we listening to this man that none of us even elected? How are the Democrats going to deal with this information? They're going to blame it all on Trump. Well, these guidelines and these shutdowns, they came from Trump. No, they didn't. There was a recommendation for just a couple of weeks to slow the curve. And that recommendation did not have teeth in it. The teeth were put in by our governors. Trump was advised to do this. He went ahead and did it. But then he would say things at his press conferences like, I don't want the cure to be worse than the disease. And he was blasted over that, accused of not caring about lives. And he wasn't the only one. Many of my Facebook friends had serious problems with me because I was claiming that we should quit worrying about this and get on with our lives. I wasn't a COVID denier. I actually got COVID several times. It wasn't so bad with me. It wasn't so bad for my wife. It was like a bad case of the flu. But I know somebody who died of COVID. I know people that were in the hospital over COVID. I did take it seriously. But my friends, we shut down our whole country over this, and Trump was not the one responsible for that. The Democratic governors, for the most part, were responsible for that. Some Republican governors, too. In California and in Michigan, it was disgraceful. In New York, it was disgraceful. But they'll blame Trump with their historical revision, the same Trump that they tried to challenge when he was telling us that we should lighten up and that these government guidelines were only guidelines. Trump did not want to see businesses closed down. Yes, they recommended doing that for a couple of weeks, but they had money to pay them back. But then these states just went on and on and on with it. How many businesses went under as a result of Fauci's lies? How many people with other medical conditions were denied admission to the hospitals? Will he really be held accountable? Will he go to prison? Will we even hear an apology from him? I don't think so. And that's sad. But what's not sad is that the truth is coming out. And yet this is a truth that we could have heard at any time from other doctors and experts in the field of pandemics who were removed from YouTube, removed from Facebook, people that put up posts labeled misinformation. And now the truth, which we could have seen at any time, is being admitted to, but without apology, without accountability. I don't think Fauci will see any jail time. I don't think we'll hear an apology from Fauci. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious. We'll be right back.
believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand, or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, joined today by my good friend and fellow rotating co-host for World News Brief. Mike is also a columnist for Epoch Times. Mike Friedenberg, welcome to our program.
Well, Bob, thanks for having me on once again. Great to be here. Once again, I find myself, us together, in a slow news week.
Yes, Mike says that every time he's on. Of course, the reason I always invite Mike on is we've had a particularly fast news week, although that's been the case for like the last 5 years, I think.
Yeah, pretty much. The big news, and this is just real recent, is that Ron DeSantis has dropped out of the race.
Yes, he has. Now, we had a monologue that you just listened to, which was very, very new and very, very recent, but already a little bit dated. That was pre-recorded, but we are in the studio live, and as of this morning, Ron DeSantis also dropped out. Well, good for him. And the longer they drag this thing out, the worse it'll be for the Republicans.
And he gave an endorsement of Donald Trump as well.
Well, good for him. I know there's been some bad blood between the two of them, so hopefully they'll bury the hatchet now.
I'm really glad. I think it's worth talking about this because, you know, from the very beginning...
It was a mistake for him to run. He should have just waited till the next election.
I think he may have destroyed his chances to even for 2028.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean...
Even with him endorsing Trump now, you don't think that could atone for things?
Whoever is going to be running in 2028, they want to somehow be able to gain the loyalty and gain the excitement of the Trump voters. And the Trump voters are 10 to 20 million voters that will not vote for anybody but Donald Trump. And when he's not on the ticket, these people just do not come out. President Trump has tried to get them to come out in midterms, but they only come out when President Trump's on the ballot. And they've been very aware of what's been going on with Ron DeSantis, and they feel that Ron DeSantis stabbed Donald Trump in the back. And these are people that hate politicians. They despise politicians. And Ron DeSantis' actions while he was running for office made him look like just another typical politician. So I really do think that it's going to be really rough for him in 2028. He might be able to recover. He's got a couple more years as governor. And I think he's been a good governor.
He's been an excellent governor. Yeah. That's why I think he would be a good president.
However, he can't pull in the number of votes that Donald Trump pulls in. And in fact, let's go back. And I think this is worth reminding people of because I want to maintain as much of a positive attitude about this election, keeping in mind, as what you said, is they are going to try to steal this election. They're working right now to try to steal
the election. We're not saying they're going to succeed, but you need to mark our words. They plan to steal it again.
They plan, but they're working now. One of the reasons they're working so obviously and so blatantly, fraudulently in all these lawsuits, which we'll talk about in a little bit, going against Donald Trump, is they are terrified of a Donald Trump on the ballot. And if they were confident about all their cheating mechanisms, they wouldn't be doing all these things.
That is an interesting point. Well, and of course, isn't it true that the more he wins by a landslide, the harder it is for them to cheat? They were cheating the year he ran against Hillary, but they weren't counting on as many votes for him coming in as did.
Right. That's
it threw off their algorithm.
I believe that there was a significant effort in some of those Rust Belt states in 2016. Pennsylvania in particular, they were desperately scrabbling to try to stuff as many ballots
as
they
were. And even in 2020, where they were planning a plan B, they had to go to a plan C because it was shutting the machines
down. Well, they
down.
Had to go so to plan
six
C.
Six states all signed off at 12 midnight and then recounted in the morning.
Blatant. And they did it because they were desperate, and because the media completely covered up for them, and because the GOP in general were feckless cowards, they got away with it.
And because they're connecting the dots between January 6th and people denying that it was a legitimate election, they want people to be legally afraid to deny the next election result should they succeed in cheating again.
You're not an election denier. You're an insurrectionist.
I know. What did we hear from them the 4 years that Trump was in office, other than the fact that he cheated and stole the election and worked with Russia? Well, that didn't make them insurrectionists, did it?
What about George W. Bush? What did we hear about George W.
Same
Bush?
Same thing. All hail the thief, they would say, not all hail the chief. Oh, yeah. That was a car bumper sticker.
I want to go back and talk a little bit about 2020 because I think it's encouraging. COVID-19 is a presidential re-election killer event. To think that a president who had to preside over that awful first couple years of it, like Donald Trump did, maybe well over a year, and to think that they're going to be able, with the massive economic dislocation, that alone is enough to take down a president.
And that alone allowed them to unconstitutionally change some election laws in certain states using COVID as an excuse. He still won, and they still had to steal it from him.
Right. Then you think about the Russian collusion lies, and then all the big media basically eliminating any positive stories about Donald Trump, perpetuating misinformation, disinformation, lies about Donald Trump. Google search, you know, basically a study was done at Google search saying that it could influence 5 to 6 million votes to bring them over against Donald Trump. It's a professor did a study on that. You look at all that, then you have Mark Zuckerberg's putting about $1 billion of his own money to illegally have the local county election officials getting funded by him to put ballot boxes in key locations.
What a chump. And he was patting himself on the back thinking he was stopping Hitler or something like that.
That was illegal.
And it shows how brainwashed he was with everybody else.
Okay. So with all of that, not COVID-19, not all the lies heading into election, not covering up the laptop story, covering up the Biden corruption, all these things here, it still took them shutting down offices, not allowing GOP Republican vote counters to be in the offices and watchers to kicking him out of the office. It took all of that to beat Donald Trump, and he lost by 40,000 votes nationwide.
And didn't really even lose those votes.
Even with all that, right. Even with all that, they were only able to get 40,000. If he had been able to get another 40,000 ballots, he would have tied Biden. If he got 56,000 votes, I believe that's the number, he would have beaten Biden. So my point is, we're going into this election cycle with people really, okay, you thought they were not unhappy in 2022. And that was a lot of election fraud there, too, that they were very, very tricky in their election fraud. It was very well done.
Really. Oh, yeah, they stole those midterms as well.
They stole some of the midterms. But Donald Trump was not on the ballot then. And with the 10 to 15 million voters that are going to come out for Donald Trump, that is just a swamp. It's a swamping event. It will swamp their efforts. I believe it will swamp their efforts, and they are terrified of his voter turnout. This idea that any Republican could do anywhere near as well as Donald Trump could be on this, no. There is loyal voters out there. There are only people that despise politicians, and despite the fact that President Trump was president for 4 years, there's nobody that approaches him out there as a major public figure that's the most unpolitician-like guy out there. Nobody's even close.
Because he's not beholden to anybody. He has his own money. He doesn't have to kiss the behinds of special interest groups.
And his personality, which drives some people batty.
Well, presidents are surrounded by cabinets and handlers that are always telling them, you can't say this or you'll offend them. You can't say that or you'll offend those people. And Trump doesn't listen to them. For better or worse, warts and all, he talks without a filter, and at least we hear what he's really thinking. You may hate him, but you gotta admit, he's no politician.
No, and he comes from having run his own privately held company. And let me just stress how important that is. When you have CEOs and execs of publicly traded companies, what we've seen is the patterns, they become politically correct, they become woke, they're afraid to say anything, they kowtow to the DEI agenda, the diversity, equity, inclusion agenda. Well, Trump ran his company, and he didn't kowtow to that stuff. He basically said what he wanted to say, and his employees probably kowtowed. Well, they did kowtow to him, to be frank. I mean, let's be frank here. So he has that background where he did get used to saying what he thought, and he's continued with that. You know, and he was very successful on The Apprentice show. So he is really, really unique. The crazy, blatantly fraudulent efforts, the illegal efforts. I mean, there's nothing more illegal and more destructive of the rule of law than what we've seen with Donald Trump. It was right from the very beginning of his administration where they confiscated all the communications from his transition team. That had never been done to a president. If it's Donald Trump, it's okay. We've seen that. And now they're doing this, what's called lawfare, but it's just blatant corruption. So there's probably, I would say, there's four major criminal cases against him right now. And there's like 91 counts.
And let me just say something about these criminal cases. They're all very dated. They are all the kinds of cases that if the case was really what concerned them, they would have brought it up 4 years ago or 3 years ago when he stepped down as president. The fact that they waited till the election speaks volumes.
And I think people believe their own propaganda. A year and a half, 2 years ago, right after 2022, and a lot of Republicans completely misinterpreted those election results. They had nothing to do with how strong Donald Trump was or was not. Some people started believing, I think the Democrats believed the press. So they probably just thought, hey, the guy's dead in the water. We finally killed him. And along comes the election cycle. And all of a sudden, they're like, whoa, I guess. And then the polling. Okay, we're never going to see something like Ronald Reagan.
Well, we've gone from the best president we ever had, with the possible exception of Lincoln, to the absolute worst. Who's ever been a worse president than Biden? And I couldn't stand Obama. I couldn't stand Carter. Biden is worse than both of them put together.
His agenda is evil and immoral. And he's also a doddering, bumbling fool.
He's the stupidest president we've ever had. He's the greatest liar we've ever had. He's the most immoral. There's nothing about him that's good.
No, and I actually truly believe
he is. I still hope Jesus forgives his soul, but there is nothing good in that man.
No, I do believe he is the worst president ever. I do believe that they're doing these high-risk lawsuits. If they win any of them, they're going to be challenged. And at some point in time, they're going to be overturned. If they're not overturned, it just means that...
If they're not overturned, we're not a republic anymore.
And also, if Trump's kept off the ballot, we're not a republic anymore, too.
I know a lot of people are just assuming that the Supreme Court will unanimously overturn these rulings about the ballot, but I don't have that confidence. I certainly don't think it's going to be unanimous.
I would love it to be unanimous, but I'm sure hoping it is.
It would sure be nice if it was. It would say something for the integrity of the court. But I don't even trust that all of the conservative justices are going to support him. I sure as heck don't trust Roberts. Not that sure about Kavanaugh. Not that sure about Barrett.
When we get back, I will explain why I think that you could be a little bit more positive about it.
Okay. Well, yeah, I sure want to be. All right. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. We'll be right back. Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burn down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Bob Siegel's novels may start out looking like typical stories, but in no time at all, they go directions you would never have dreamed about. Just listen to the premise of Bob Siegel's unusual story, Choice of the Lorelei. Martha Flannery, an aggressive missionary, sets out for the Frisian Islands to convert the newly discovered tribe called Reinu. Here she enters into a strong battle of wills with Dr. Connors, a cultural anthropologist who wants to protect the Reinu people from outside influence, especially evangelism. Connors' strange manners and obsession with the Reinu are only the first of several eerie mysteries, including previous visitors to the island who never returned home, and an elderly gentleman claiming to be 4,000 years old. Choice of the Lorelei, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture, joined today by Epoch Times columnist Mike Friedenberg.
So Bob, is just as we were leaving, there is four major criminal actions involving a lot of counts, and then there's one major civil case, and you've been hearing about that one in, you know, New York City, right? The fraud one.
Is that Bragg's case, or are there two in New York City?
No, that Bragg one has been dropped, basically. That's dead.
Oh, I had not heard that. Well, that's good news.
But this is the one that has to do with inflating his
the value of the his business. Property. Yes, and in fact, and wasn't it true that not one single one of his customers ever issued a complaint about that?
And that was brought by State Attorney General Letitia James, who ran on a campaign when she ran for office. I will get Trump. So that's what was her running.
Well, then she's just keeping her campaign promises, Mike. Can't blame her for that.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. So let's first talk about the Colorado case. And the Colorado case, it's not really a criminal case at this point. Basically, though, it was a 4-3 decision. The Colorado Supreme Court was a 4-3
to remove him from the ballot.
To remove him from the ballot. Okay. So that alone already tells you just how tenuous this case is. Basically, what they said is, we have determined that President Trump committed insurrection.
Even though he had not even been charged with that, let alone convicted of that.
Exactly.
So basically, they were sentencing somebody who had never been charged or convicted for the crime they were sentencing him to.
So I'm going to go ahead and read something from this just to show you just how weak this case was. This was put out. This is part of the decision verbatim. Therefore, to maintain the status quo pending any review by the U.S. Supreme Court, we stay our ruling until January 4th, 2024, the day before the Secretary's deadline to certify the content of the presidential primary ballot. If review is sought in the Supreme Court before the stay expires on January 4th, 2024, then the stay shall remain in place and the Secretary shall continue to be required to include President Trump's name on the 2024 presidential primary ballot until the receipt of any order or mandate from the Supreme Court. So even as they did this decision, this ruling from the Colorado Supreme Court was a shot across the bow. I mean, Judge Roberts.
So they're admitting that they're probably going to get overturned, but they're giving a wink, wink, nod, nod to all their friends and buddies that'll pat them on the back and congratulate him for being so woke.
But also basically forced the Supreme Court to take this on. I mean, they had the Supreme Court mentioned prominently, if you don't do this, we're going to do this. So if the Supreme Court did not do this, they would have been under massive criticism.
What do you think was their motive for wanting to force the Supreme Court to do it? Do they really think the Supreme Court's going to rule with them?
They wanted to look reasonable. They wanted to say, okay, well, if the Supreme's going to do it, they wanted to try to give themselves, have it both ways. They wanted to say, the highest court in a state has declared Donald Trump an insurrectionist. So that people could say that, but at the same time, they did not want to look
probably
foolish.
The Supreme Court, even putting the ballot, I don't even know if they'll come back and say you can't remove a man's name from the ballot. They may just come back and say there was no crime that he was ever charged with, so we can't hear the case. Couldn't they just do that?
There's been all sorts of different ways they could come back with. I mean, they come back and say, this is ludicrous. There was no insurrection. A lot of people believe they will not do that. But a lot of people, though, will come back with a pretty strong statement saying that you cannot pull somebody off the ballot under the 14th Amendment unless it's gone through due process to convict that person of insurrection.
Done.
I think that's going to be the minimum they'll come
back
with.
And isn't it the job of Congress to enforce that anyway, not some judge?
I know
Congress codified it into criminal law, but I think the way that works is it falls under Congress.
They tried to convict him of insurrection in the impeachment, and they failed. So that might have been a reasonable premise to go forward with the 14th Amendment. But they could also, Congress pass a law putting into code, you know, specifically laws as to defining insurrection, and whether or not that would hold up in the Constitution or not is questionable. So there's a number of ways they could do it, but I do believe...
An insurrection was about the South and the Civil War, and people that committed treason against their country by breaking off from their country and rebelling, by seceding from the Union. That's what the 14th Amendment is about.
Yes. He can't be held guilty of a crime that they really can't even define, and when it's removed from the clash of armies that took place between the North and the South. That's the whole context of that whole insurrection thing. You know, not one person involved in the January 6th protest, you know, was carrying a gun.
Trump offered the National Guard to Pelosi. She turned him down. She wouldn't utilize the Washington police. They wanted that. There were police officers that were letting people into the building. Isn't that true?
Yep, that's true. So anyway, that one, I believe the Supreme Court's going to rule for Trump.
You think we can trust all of them on that? Do you think even the flaming liberals on the court will?
I'm not going to say it's going to be 9-0. I can't say that. But I would.
You think at least Roberts will go along with it?
Roberts will go along with it.
You think so?
I'm confident. He's got to go along with this. This is just a snow. He will go along with this. I mean, the new Supreme Court judge, Jackson, I think.
Oh, the one that can't even define what a woman is?
Is.
Who knows what
I mean, there's a possibility we still may get a couple no's, but there's a chance we get a 9-0, but maybe 9-0 or 7-2. But it's going to be soft. It's not going to be 5-4. I don't believe that. I do not believe that. That would just open the floodgates. I don't believe so. I hope not, and I don't believe it will be. Then we have the Fulton County case in Georgia with Fannie Willis, the one you've been hearing about.
This was where Trump was encouraging people to go and find more votes.
Right.
And he says that means see if there's more to count.
Yeah.
Well, they're assuming he meant go and create them.
One of his jobs, by the way, as president, is to be involved with election integrity. And even if it's his own election, he needs to be involved there. And there was a lot of stuff going on there that was crazy. We still haven't had a good explanation about the video of the people in Fulton County coming in the middle of the night to haul hidden ballot boxes out and start counting them. And we have that video there. We still haven't got a good explanation. We have an explanation. It's not a convincing explanation.
Well, the explanation's always, we were worried about COVID and Trump is Hitler after all.
Right. I believe she's what you call jumped the shark on this. Because she's now trying to make it a RICO case, racketeering and corruption influence case, like they used against, that's how they brought down organized crime. She's using doing it as a RICO case. So it's just, listen, you can indict a ham sandwich, right, when you go to a grand jury. You've heard that expression.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So they were able to get an indictment. And they might possibly, in that jury pool in Fulton County, possibly get something on Trump, but I don't believe it. But regardless, you know she's in really big trouble right now because she hired her lover, the one that was cheating on his wife, and paid him something like $700,000, well above the going rate. They used that money to go on elaborate vacations. This is all allegations that still be proven in court, but it looks very solid.
Even the National Enquirer is going to get involved now.
And he's been intimately involved. In fact, I did watch some of the proceedings online in YouTube to see it. And he was the one, you know, was up there talking. So the theory of the fruit of the poison tree, right? Well, there's a very good chance that this whole case could be tossed out. If not tossed out completely, then delayed. So this case is completely and utterly bogus. Even if somehow they got a conviction on it, I believe it would be appealed and then overturned. You just cannot put these kind of cases forward. It's opening the Pandora's box. Now, then we have the two Jack Smith cases. And the Jack Smith cases are very interesting. There's the one Jack
Smith. One of his is the January 6th.
Right, that's the January 6th case. And then the other one is the documents case, you know, the secret documents case.
Oh, yeah. We didn't have any issue with Biden and documents spilt all over his car and his home at all, did we?
No, we didn't. We did not have any of that. So the Jack Smith cases, it's very interesting. You remember Ed Meese, the name Ed Meese?
Yes, from several administrations ago.
Yes, the Reagan administration. And he and a couple of law professors filed an amicus curiae brief on the January 6th case. And in it, they document that Merrick Garland did not have the authority to elevate Jack Smith. This type of prosecution, he'd have to have been run through a very explicit appointment process approved by Congress and signed off on by Biden. So this is unprecedented. Jack Smith just being pulled out of private practice to do this is unprecedented. So that's being brought before the Supreme Court as well. Another route, they're saying that he should not be doing this. Now, I don't think this point where it has taken an eye yet, but it's a very good case. And I do want to say something. Ed Meese is up in his upper 80s. Here's a guy in his upper 80s, and he took the time and an effort to put together this case. I mean, it's really, you know, talking about public service.
He could just enjoy retirement.
Yeah, we're talking about public service.
And not have to deal with all the things the mainstream media is going to say about him. Okay, hold that thought, Mike. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Thank you.
The much-anticipated sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is finally here, Inside the Castle in the Glass. Mike Owen is now in high school enjoying his new girlfriend and his new popularity. But life gets interrupted when a series of mishaps transfer him and his friends into a whole new world. The very world his mysterious Christmas ornament originated from. Inside the Castle in the Glass. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Listening to music from the first James Bond, taken over by Roger Moore from Sean Connery. But we only hope Donald Trump takes over from Joe Biden. Say hello again to Mike Friedenberg.
So, along with the fact that Jack Smith is probably everything he's done to this date, he was not involved with the raid on Mar-a-Lago, but post the Mar-a-Lago, he was chosen to prosecute and put all the details like that. He's heavily involved with both cases, and everything he's done is arguably illegal. They would have to start over, and we'll have to see how that plays out. I mean, that'd be a major move, but the thing is, he does not fit the criteria to be able to have this kind of authority. So he should not have the kind of authority he's been exercising. Therefore, both the cases have been illegitimately prosecuted to this point. But let's look at the details of it. The Mar-a-Lago case, so that was the documents case. And President Trump has pleaded not guilty to 40 charges. And the whole thing comes down to the Presidential Records Act and also the Constitution, as determined by the Constitution. The Supreme Court has ruled on this numerous times. The president has the unique and unrestricted ability to declassify any document he wants. And there is no procedure. They made up some administrative procedures, but he doesn't have to follow those. They were a way to say, yeah, this is a nice organized way to do
it. And the vice president does not have that authority. No. So what Joe Biden did, he really could be held culpable from if they're not going to pursue it.
Okay. So this is an utterly bogus case. Zero legitimacy to it. Of course, President Trump has said a few things that maybe he shouldn't have said, but it's irrelevant to the case. Really,
he talks without a filter. He's always going to say things that people could take two ways.
You know, for example, he was talking about the decision, I think the decision not to invade Iraq, which, by the way, was an awesome decision. We had a predator drone, an unmanned drone, spying on Iraq right on the border of an air defense zone, which was there unregistered. When you have a plane on your air defense zone that's not registered, by international law, you have the right to shoot that down. So on the basis of that drone getting shot down, all the war hawks, Lindsey Graham, and all the people that wanted us to go to war with Iraq, and it was ridiculous. And Donald Trump said no. So he's waving some documents saying, and I have these documents here. The reporter never saw it. But President Trump could very well have just grabbed some papers and said, look, I have the evidence here. Well, some of this stuff in that would be technically classified as top secret. Whether or not it was giving away national secrets that were important or not is a whole other question, because a lot of stuff that is classified, whether it's secret or top secret, should not be classified as top secret. It's a major problem in over-classifying things. So regardless, we don't know that. We don't know what he had there. But I'm kind of guessing he knew roughly that he had something in the archives. He grabbed a sheaf of papers and says, and I have it right here. Yeah, I'm waving a sheaf of papers I'm talking about. But this is what he said. Right here. He would do that. It's showmanship. So anyway, there's nothing there. Jack Smith's an illegitimate prosecutor, as far as I can tell. He's involved with both cases. And also, he's got a judge, Judge Eileen Cannon, in the Florida documents case that was appointed by him. She's a strict constructionist. She's been very fair in the case. In fact, I think she's been bending over backwards she probably could have dismissed this case, but she's not going to because she's a Trump appointee. But beyond that,
so she's concerned about how that would look.
But beyond that, she's been fair. And just recently, she denied the prosecutors. They said, we need you to force the Trump lawyers to tell us what their defense is going to be. And she said no, because they wanted to know if he was going to do bad legal counsel defense, that he just was following what the lawyer said defense, which maybe would change their strategy. And she says, no, they don't have to do that, which probably delays their case as well. Then you could open up the can of worms with how many documents did Obama have? How well were they secured? He has millions of documents that he declassified. Millions of them. that he declassified. And then you got Biden. So I don't think that's going to go anywhere. But once again, if it did somehow get a conviction, it would go to the Supreme Court or to an appeals court. It would go someplace. And then you've got the January 6th case. That's with a hostile judge. I forget her name, but she's out of the district, the Washington area, Washington, D.C. area. But that, once again, they haven't even mentioned insurrection to that. It's very weak.
What is the lesser charge that they're using? Because I know, like you said, they're not using the word insurrection. What word are they using? Just
basically,
riled people up?
It's rhetoric riled people up that he was interfering with the transition.
Oh, obstruction.
Interfering. And then also, there's also obstruction.
Not insurrection, but obstruction.
And then there was also obstruction involved with the Mar-a-Lago because he didn't respond to requests from the archivist, who basically is a radical left-wing Democrat, who institute a policy and procedures that had never been done with the other president when president of office, top U.S. archivist for D.C., for the federal government. So those are the cases. So those are the major cases. The civil case, the judge, without any evidence, right at the very beginning, declared President Trump guilty.
Yeah, don't you just love Trump it when a judge declares somebody guilty before there's a trial?
And they immediately wanted to seize and dissolve all of his businesses. They put orders to him, and Trump got an emergency injunction from the appeals court. They said, no, you can't do this. But that literally would have shut down his multi-million-dollar businesses just on the order of the judge.
Unseemly that judges think they have this kind of power at their fingertips.
Then in court, it's been a fiasco because every single lender...
Every time Trump tries to defend himself, they tell him to sit down. Well, he's not allowed to talk.
But everybody that's come and testified in the court has just basically said, hey, the Trump organizations have been great customers. They paid on time. They paid back ahead of time. Everybody knows that when you value properties, right, you put the value out there and you never undervalue your properties, because if you undervalue your properties, the banks are going to go, oh, great, they undervalue the properties. That means we can give a higher rate. Yeah, we can charge them a higher rate.
The judge is thinking, yeah, but this guy's name was Trump, so right. I feel differently about it.
And of course, everybody knows the final determination when the banks give loans are their own independent investigation of what the value of the properties are. That's always the case. Nobody expects the banks, these multi-billion dollar, $100 billion, $500 billion entities, to just take any company's word about the valuation of their properties. So it's completely and utterly ludicrous. I've seen stuff that shows that he actually probably undervalued his properties. We have that there. So these five cases all represent what I would call lawlessness. I want to emphasize this. When you have judges doing this, that creates the maximum damage to the law.
It's a step from anarchy.
And it's far more dangerous than, you know, somebody committing murder. Obviously, committing murder is horrible, but that doesn't damage the law. But they are damaging the very underpinnings of our country.
And they're doing this in the name of preserving democracy.
Well, yes. And you and I know, literally, if it's not a one-to-one correlation, then it's close to that. Anytime the Democrats accuse the Republicans or conservatives or President Trump are doing something, it's because they're doing it and they're doing it full speed ahead. I guess it is an effective technique, because there's a lot of people that don't pay much attention to say, well, one guy's saying this and the other guy's saying this, you know, maybe they're equally, you know. But when it comes to the totalitarian type actions, look what's happened to the January 6th protesters. They've been rotting away for over 2 years. Sometimes they've been kept in solitary confinement. They've been limited to not being able to see their family at times. I mean, it's been a gulag in many cases. And I gotta say that the Republicans haven't really been very impressive there either. I'm a Republican, Bob, because it's my best option at this point. But frankly, I'm not jumping up and down with excitement about being a Republican. I have to be honest.
I'm an independent because I'm not real happy with the Republicans or Democrats, but I always vote Republican. So essentially, that's where my sentiments are.
Yeah.
I just wish they'd live up to what they claim to be all about a little better.
And I mean, that kind of brings up another really pertinent thing, is that once again, the Republican Congress has caved and they're passing a continuing resolution. And they were talking tough about no continuing resolution, no legislation unless we get border control, right? You know, get some border stuff. Well, the border right now, forget about China.
You're talking about a resolution to keep the economy going right now?
Basically.
A budget?
Yeah, a resolution to keep the federal government funded.
Right.
And included in that resolution was supposed to be provisions that would mandate that Biden started enforcing the border. And they basically already caved again. So now we've
so
now
even the House caved, or the just
House,
the Senate?
House caved. The House caved. And they 117 Republicans joined with the Democrats to pass it out of the House. And then, of course, it was fait accompli in the Senate, which
I wouldn't have expected anything in the Senate anyway.
And then today, and I forget the gentleman's name, a congressman from Texas, he's one of the board chairs, you know, the chairman of one of the major committees. And he came on and he was angry. He was angry that people were upset with him for voting for the continuing resolution because he told us that you can't win the game by leaving the field. He gave a football analogy, you know, and if we just left and let the government shut down, it's like leaving the field. And I'm strong on defense. Listen, our troops are out
there.
That's
how they always get the Republicans. We got to support the troops. But if we're losing our country, what are the troops going to be defending anymore? They won't ask themselves.
Well, first of all, the number one security issue for our country right now, the number one threat to our country is the masses of illegal aliens coming across the border. Millions of military age males with no restriction, including Chinese nationals, tens and tens of thousands of them, millions of people coming across the border that may not believe in the Second Amendment.
Have troops to protect borders. Right. I'm so tired of this. Go to support the troops. The pork and the junk that they get through on bills these last 20 years because Republicans are always suckered that way. The Democrats use the troops as a Trojan horse to pass everything else they want to pass.
And meanwhile, the stuff included in the military bill is actually hurting our military. So there's a lot of politically correct stuff in these military bills.
Probably all kinds of lessons on the correct pronouns.
And the
part
procurement
of the military bill
is damaging our military, our procurement policy. So the military bill, is the stuff included now, is damn. So not only are they using it as an example, but what they passed is actually damaging our military.
All right. Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining us. This is Bob Siegel. We will see you next time.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.